We're in Perikid Aleph, continuing the Midas Hanakiyus, and the Ramchal is now going to turn into a different area where it's imperative to be careful. Unadabra ato alachatoim hamatsuyim hanolodim micheves bnei adam v'kibitzam. We're going to discuss now various sins that are common to occur when you have people who get together. Kagon, for instance, honas devarim, saying things that make people feel bad. Habanas panim haponim, embarrassing people. Hashalas ha'iver be'etza, giving people poor advice. Rechilus, the world of Lashon Hara and Rechilus. Sina unakima, the averus of hatred and revenge. Shavuos, promises. Tevar sheker v'chil Hashem, falsehood and chil Hashem. Ki miyomar ni kesimem, who can say that I'm totally free and clean from these chatoim? Taharti me ashem bam, I'm pure from any crime in this area. Kanfeim rabim, there are so many branches with dakim and their fine distinctions, adma od, extremely so. Ashar hahi zoher bam, tarkodol, to be careful in all these areas, in all its facets, is extremely difficult. And he goes through these one at a time. Hanas hadvarim bichlala, there's the general issue of not saying things that make people feel bad. That's when you speak in front of someone and you embarrass him. Certainly if you say this in front of many and the person will be embarrassed. Or if you do something that causes someone to be embarrassed. That's all part of an Anas Devarim. For Masha Omer Perakazov, the Gemara in Perakazov explains, this is where we learn im haya bal tshuva, if someone did a chet and did tshuva for the chet, lo yoimelo, you don't say to him, zechor ma'asecha rishon, remember what you did? You do not remind people of their past after the dov tshuva, and if you do, that's an Anas Devarim. Im haya chalaim ba'im alav, if someone is ill or has a variety of illnesses, lo yoimelo, you don't tell the sick person, kederash omachaveh le'iyav, like Iyav's friend said to him, zecharna mi hunak yava, don't you know who gets this kind of illness without sin? Obviously you sinned, and that's why this is happening to you. You don't talk like that. You don't say that. Imhayu chamor mevakshim henetuvua, if there were donkey drivers who would ask you where they can find grain, I guess the equivalent today of someone who drives a car and asks you, where can you find the gas station? Lo yoimer lehem, don't tell them, l'chuei tzaploni shumochet, oh, go to so-and-so, he sells grain. V'yodeya b'shlomochet v'yomev, and you know he's never sold grain. It's like you tell him, oh, go to this corner, this intersection, and you find the gas station, there's no gas station there. L'kfar omru chazach, as I'll tell us, god lo nos tevorm, ninos mamon. The sin of causing people pain and upset by things you say is worse than cheating them in financial matters, or overcharging, overpricing. So the world of Anas Devarim is to be careful not to say things that make people feel bad, and that includes reminding them of past things that they don't want to be reminded of. And certainly it's not to show insensitivity to someone who's sick and start giving them a Musa Shmuz. It's beyond me that people will go to visit people who are sick and give them a Musa Shmuz, you have to tshuva for your chatoim, this is why this happened to you. I mean, it's almost unimaginable, and yet it happens. People will do that. And you're not supposed to do that. We don't do that. We may learn in Svarim the concept that chet could be a reason for choli, but we are in no position to tell that to someone who is sick. That is something we can apply to ourselves, maybe, but not to someone else. Ramchal continues, v'kol shkinim hu b'rabim. Certainly, if this is in public, shebehed yishinina, we learn openly enough, is hamal b'chavir b'rabim, and l'chayek lom habo, anyone who embarrasses someone else in public loses his own habo. V'ramme v'chista kol hash'om nina l'chus m'shar ono, v'chista teaches that all the gates in heaven are closed except for the gates of those who suffer like this, Hashem listens to them. V'ramme b'lazer ha'kol ha'kadosh baruch hu nifal yidei shechutz m'ino. The Gemara goes on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish people for their sins through an emissary, through a shliach. When it comes to onah, when someone makes someone feel bad, Hashem gets involved personally. Kaviyachol. For Amr Chazal say shlosh ein apargadinol b'fnehem. There are three for whom the curtain is not locked, the door is not closed. Vechon them onah. One of them is onah. For afilu dvar mitzvah kosef. Even when it comes to mitzvahs, like hachech tichas amisecha, when you have a requirement to give rebuke, to guide someone properly. From a Chazal, the Gemara says, Yochel afilim ipanim mishtanos. Does that mean even if he'll get embarrassed? Tamalomer, the Pasuk says, well, osislov ched, do not sin in the process. So you even have a mitzvah tochacha, but not if it's going to embarrass the person whom you are being mochiach. And therefore you don't give tochach in public, and even in private, you have to be careful how to say it, not to make the person feel bad. We call Elu Hama'amorim, from all these statements of our Chazal, Tirad Hechen Mispashtim Anfi Asar Azuz V'kama Anshakosha. We can understand and see how far the branches of this sin extend and how severe is its punishment that it could lead to the loss of Olam Haba. So the first thing that he says you have to be careful with when people get together, when there's interactions or exchanges between people, is Anastavan, that you have to be very sensitive to other people to make sure that they won't get embarrassed by what you say or be upset by what you say. And halbanas haponim is the second category, not to do it, of course, in public or any public situation. To make someone feel bad in public is much worse than in private. The next thing on the list is hachsholos ha'iva be'etza, giving improper counsel. So the Ramchal writes, be'inin nesinas ha'etza, as far as giving advice is concerned. Shanina b'toras kahanim, the Braisa teaches, one should not put a stumbling block in front of someone who is blind. And the Chazal teach us, lifnei suma b'davar. It doesn't have to be literally blind. It's someone who is blind about a specific topic. Someone who is unaware and asks you what to do. So don't give him a stumbling block. Amalach bas ploni mahi l'kahuna. Person says to you, can the daughter of so-and-so, can she marry a kohen? Don't say, yeah, sure, she's fine. In fact, you know that she's not fine to marry Kohen. If he gives you, asks you for counsel, do not give him counsel that's inappropriate for him. Don't tell him, I think it would be a good idea for you to sell your property, your real estate, and buy a donkey. Okay, for love, and really, you've been trying to get that property for yourself, and you connive to buy it from him, by counseling him that he's better off buying a donkey. Now you may say, I'm giving good advice. This is something that only the heart knows. And the Pasuk says, fear Hashem. Hashem is aware of your real true intent. And what do we learn from this? But whether it's something that he has a personal negias, it is related to him, or something which has nothing to do with him at all. It's an obligation for a person to give correct counsel to people who come to him. And you should know the Torah is aware of those who are conniving and cheating. We're not dealing with people who are foolish. That we're afraid they'll give an obviously bad advice, that people won't fall for. Where our concern is people who are very crafty and sneaky with their evil. They'll give advice that on the surface actually does look like it's profitable and good advice. In the end, it will not be for his benefit. Also, it will actually be bad for him. And good for the one who gives advice. Therefore, Chazal say, Shema Eitz Yafa, Hadav must live. You think you're giving advice, Hashem knows the truth. Unfortunately, people stumble with these sins on a daily basis. Because they're responding and going to the motivation of earning money and profits. The Pasuk explains how serious their punishment is when it says, Arur mashke iva derech. Cursed is the one who misleads someone on the path. The obligation for the straight person is, if someone comes to take counsel from him, he should give him the exact same counsel he would take himself. Someone says he can only look out for the benefit of the one who's asking for advice. Lo l'shem tachas acher. There could be no other motive. Karov avol chishya, whether it's close or far, it has to be exactly what he would say for himself. If it happens that he sees there could be harm with this counsel, if he can show him that this is not a good idea, you should show him. If not, if you can't show him that it's bad advice, just stay out of the parasha and don't say anything, because if what's best for the person who's asking you is going to be harmful for him, and that's what he says, if you see Hezek la'atzmo be'etzahi, if he sees that if I give him good advice, I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to lose out. So you could point out to him that if you do this, it's not good for me. But you can't give him bad advice to save yourself. So you have to say yes to someone else. So if you feel that you're going to lose out by giving good advice to this person, you're not obligated to give him good advice. You can't give bad advice. You have to say, I can't advise you on this topic. I can't give you any counsel on this topic, because basically you're no gebedaver. You know if they go ahead with this, it's bad for you. So you just got to say, I can't, I have to ask someone else. I can't help you with this particular thing.
The bottom line is, you never give advice unless it's good for the one to whom you're giving the advice. So unless the one who is coming for counsel wants to do something bad, then you should take a trick him that it won't work out the way he wants. Like it says, if someone is corrupt, you have to be cunning with him. Who gave bad advice to Avshalom in order to save David. So that's a case when it's an exception to the rule. Someone wants to do something bad, you give him bad advice that it shouldn't come out. The discussion here about giving advice, this is very common for people to ask others that they're close with, do you think this is a good idea? Is this a good venture? Or maybe you might ask someone with a purchase, is this a good purchase? Is this a nice outfit? Do I look good in this? Whatever. And you have to be honest. You have to be tell them what you want to be told. If you were asking the question, and you want to know if this is a good idea, if this is a good purchase, if this is something that I want to have or not, so on. You have to be totally free from any other motive and just think for the best of the person. There are stories about people who went to Gedolim concerning jobs, and I'm not sure which way it went, the pot goes both ways. The Menahel comes to the Rav and says, should I hire such and such a person from my school, from my Moisid, for my this job, whatever? And the Rav says, it's Gavaldik. If you get your hands on him, it's Gavaldik, you should get him. And then the fellow goes and offers a job, and the one who is offered the job comes to the Rav and asks, should I take this job? And there was absolutely not, no way in this world you take this job. Not for you. And the fellow declines. And the one who offers the job says, why are you declining? He says, the Rav told me not to take the job. So he goes back to the Rav. Says, why did you tell me not to take the job? I asked you, you said it's great. And the Rav's answer is, when you asked me, is it good for the job? He is. He's gavaldik. If you get your hands on him, it's gavaldik. But when he asks me, I have to tell him what's good for him. I don't think it's good for him to take the job. It's not a contradiction. You're asking me, should I hire him? Of course you should hire him. He's asking me, should I take the job? Of course you shouldn't take the job. You have to be straight. He can't be biased. He has to give each one the correct counsel for that person. And sometimes it's a conflict like this. But it can't alter his counsel. If he's going to be over the Yisrael Ya'atz Nuruah, he can't give bad advice. He has to say it the way it is. Each one, what's good for one person isn't what's good for the other person. And the Rav can't show sides. He's got to tell each one. If they ask him, if they ask him. If they don't ask, they don't ask. But if they ask, he's got to say it straight. The next area is Harachilus Ulashan Hara. when people get together, there's always a concern that there may be forbidden speech in the context of Rechilas Lashon Hara. So Rambam Chal says, Kevar chumo noide v'godla nafav kirab mod. We know the seriousness of the sin, and we know there are many branches. And I said this before, for kulam b'avak lashon hara, that Chazal say everyone is singed or everyone is guilty of the traces of lashon hara. For amru, they say, what is lashon hara? Where can you find the fire burning at this time of night? Only in so and so's house. Implying that this person eats too much. Or he says good things about a person in front of someone who doesn't like him, and you know he's going to say something nasty. Anything like that. Even though it appears very light and distant from any iser, there's no question these are included in avak lashon hara. The rule is harbe derachim layetzer. Yetzer has all kinds of ways to trap us. Anything that could possibly generate harm or disgrace to his friend, whether in his presence or not, that is included in the Isra Shnara that the Ribbono Shlom hates and despises. Shamrolov, on that we say, whoever speaks Lashon Hara as if he denies Hashem's existence, and it says in Pasuk, those who slander in private, I will destroy. That's the entire treatment the Ramchal gives to Rechilas Lashon Hara, and he sums it up very simply. If the words you say will cause someone harm or disgrace, it's awesome. Makes no difference if it's in his presence, not in his presence. That is Lashon Hara, that is Rechilas. That is what is prohibited. You cannot say anything which will cause someone harm or shame or disgrace. If you do, that is the one Hashem can't stand. That is Lashon Hara. So in a nutshell, he distills the whole thing down. He says, I know there's many, many, many pratim and details, but that is the essence of the Issa. The next thing on the list, Gam hasina v'hanekima, sinas chinam, hatred and revenge. Kashim ha'oid l'shimot imena leif husal asher levnei adam. It is very difficult for a person who has a spiteful heart to escape these things. Ki adam magish ma'oid l'banosav, m'star tzal gadol. People are very sensitive when they are shamed, and it causes them great pain. And a little revenge is sweeter than honey. It's the only comfort he'll get from his pain. So when he has the ability to overpower his nature, and just let it go, and not insist on harboring ill will, and he won't hate the one who arouses the hatred. And he won't take revenge when he has the opportunity to take revenge. And he won't bear a grudge. He'll forget the whole thing. He'll take it off his heart as if it never happened. That person is very strong. That person is very powerful to be able to do that. The only ones who find this easy are angels. Shein b'neihem yidsalal. They don't have these character traits. Lo al shochne batechoy meshabaf yisodam. This is not something easy for people who live in the physical world, physical bodies, whose origin is the offer. Amnag zeres melachi, but it is the decree of the king. We have to do it. V'amekoras galuyim. The psukim are very clear. Be'er heitev. There's no lack of clarity. Answer chamish. There's no need to explain. Lo sisna esachicha lovecha. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Lo sikam lo siktaris b'nei mecha. Do not take revenge. Do not bear a grudge. V'inyan hanakim v'atir yadua. Now, what is revenge and what is bearing a grudge? We know what these are. D'hai nakima. What's revenge? Limana mehetiv lemish lo vatsa hetiv lo. You won't be nice to someone who wasn't nice to you. O sheher lo kvar, someone who was bad to you, you're not going to be nice to him now. Unatira, bearing a grudge.
If you are going to be nice to someone, you're going to remind him of the bad that he did to him in the past. And I'm not like you. I will do this for you. That's Natira. Since the Yetzer Hara is constantly cooking up in your heart, looking for some way to at least leave some kind of imprint or memory of the event. If you can't make a large imprint, a little imprint. We give it a mashal. If you're going to give this person something that he didn't give you when you needed it, at least I don't give it to him with a smile. If you're not going to be mean to him, don't do with him a good taiva. Don't be a big help for him. Or if you do want to help him a lot, don't do it in front of him. Oh, just don't be his friend. He's not my enemy. That's enough. He's not my enemy. I have to be his friend. If you do want to be his friend, but the Yetzer tells you, don't be as good a friend as you were before. All these different types, the intrigues of the Yetzer Hara, he tries to control your heart. So the Torah puts it in general terms. That's very clear. Exact like you. Like you without any distinctions, without any schemes, exactly like yourself. That's how the Torah addresses this. So this is a fascinating passage of the Ramchal, and I've heard it quoted often in different shiurim. It's an amazing point that the Ramchal makes, and that is essentially, when it comes to those sikkim with those sitar, no one can accomplish that easily. This is only for our angels. For malachim could do this easily, not for human beings. Now, we're not malachim. Hashem didn't make us malachim. Gezeres melachi, Hashem decreed. So it's not easy, but it's not impossible. So how are you supposed to do this exactly? That you suffered by this person's hand, and now you have to behave with him like it never happened. And you're supposed to be as friendly with him as you are your best friend. It's not enough to say, I don't hate his guts. It's not enough to say, I can give him a little help. It's not enough to say, I'll do it not in front of him. It's not enough to say, I won't be a good friend with him, but I'll be a friend. It has to be as if it never happened. It never occurred. I heard of Solomon speak, and he gave the mashal like this. You have two neighbors that are good friends and sharing each other's simchas and all kinds of stuff. Let's call them Reuven and Shimon. And Shimon happens to have a business where he has a truck that he uses. He always parks on the street by the house. And Reuven doesn't bother him. He parks in front of his house. Sometimes takes his parking spot because Shimon's a good friend. No problem. And it happens to be that Reuven outgrows his house and he finds another house 2 blocks away that is bigger and better for him, and he buys the house 2 blocks away. And he decides, why should I pay a mover to move my stuff 2 blocks? It's ridiculous, spend all that kind of money. I'll do it myself. He knocks on his friend Shimon's door. Shimon, on the weekend, when you're not doing business, can I borrow your truck? I'm moving and I want to do it myself. Can I borrow your truck? And Shimon says, nope, I don't end up my truck. It's 2 blocks. It's going 2 blocks. From here, 2 blocks away. Nope, I don't own my truck. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Reuven says, you can watch. I mean, where am I going? I'm not going on the highway. I'm not going any front. No, I have a rule. I don't want to talk to anybody. Can't help you. Reuven is very disappointed. But what's he going to do? So he has a stroller. So he starts putting boxes in his stroller. And he walks 2 blocks with the stroller and drops off the boxes, and he comes back and fills the stroller again and does this the whole afternoon on Sunday. And around 2 o'clock, it starts to rain, and he's getting rained on, pushing his stroller back and forth, shoving boxes 2 blocks away.
And all that time, Shimon's truck is sitting in the driveway, right there on the street, not moving, not being used, and he sees it every time he walks by, pushing his stroller in the rain with his boxes. After an entire day of schlepping his boxes, he's finally moved, and he's in his new house, and there's a knock on the door. It's Shimon. You know, Reuven, I couldn't help but notice you have a very nice stroller, and my kids are coming next week from out of town. I need a stroller. Can I borrow your stroller? What is Reuven supposed to say at that moment? Of course, I'm so happy to get my stroller. It'd be great. I love playing with my stroller. It's a great stroller. Enjoy. Is that humanly possible? Says the Ramchal, it's not easy, but you got to do it. How are you supposed to do that? How does the Torah expect Reuven to happily, smilingly give his stroller to Shimon after he couldn't use the truck the whole day and he's pushing that stroller, schlepping boxes and so on, without saying a word, happily, gladly lending the stroller? How can the Torah make that requirement? That's how Solomon presented the question. And whatever situation you come up with, it'll always fall into the same type of challenge. So Solomon answered based on the Sefer HaChinuch, and this is actually quoted by the Chafetz Chaim in his Psicha. Chafetz Chaim quotes the Sefer HaChinuch to explain in his introduction to Sefer Chafetz Chaim. He goes through the Isurim that people are over when they speak Lashon Hara, and among them could be Lo Sikam and Lo Sitar. So the Chafetz Chaim says, how is a person supposed to avoid the Isur Sikam Sitar? So he quotes the Chinuch, which you may be familiar with, where the Chinuch says that everything is decreed upon from Shemayim. Just like the Gemara says, if you bang your thumb, you know it's min Hashemayim. Nothing happens in Adam Nokif Espo Milamata, can goes Milamala. Nothing happens down here unless it was decreed above. So if Shimon doesn't lend the truck to Reuven, Reuven has to look at it. This isn't Shimon. Hashem doesn't want me to drive the truck. The Ibai doesn't want me to drive the truck. So I'm going to argue with Ibn Shlom. He doesn't want me to drive the truck, so I'm not going to drive the truck. If it asked Ibn Shlom by Shachar, Ibn Shlom, should I ask Shimon to borrow his truck? And Hashem would tell him, Reuven, don't you dare ask him to borrow the truck. So what? So now he's going to argue with Hashem about it. Hashem said not to borrow the truck. He's not going to borrow the truck. So if Shimon tells him he can't borrow my truck, that's not Shimon talking. Ibn Shlom doesn't want him to use the truck. This is what the Chinuch writes. So you're going to take revenge? You're going to bear a grudge? What did Shimon do? Didn't do anything. It's all the Ibn Shlom. So what are you getting angry at Shimon for? Don't be angry at Shimon. Shimon wants to borrow your stroller? Give him your stroller. What do you care? This is what the Chinuch writes. That when people interact and a person does something to someone else and that person suffers and he feels it was unjust and this person could have done more for me and so on, that's not the way to think. You think like that, you're going to be in the grips of the Yetzer Hara, you're going to bear a grudge, you're going to want to take revenge, and what the Torah is telling you is to forget about it. It wasn't him. It's not him. When these things happen, it's not him. This is what the Chinuch says. And this is a very important yesod, and many will speak this out to explain how to deal with these types of situations. So one thought that I've had about this is that we have a concept of Magaglin Zuchus Ayde Zakai and Chov Ayde Chayev. Hashem does good things with good people, as good people are Hashem's Shliach for good, and bad people are Hashem's Shliach for bad things. If the Ibn Hashem doesn't want me to use the truck and wants me to schlep with the stroller all day, that must tell me something about Shimon. Must be Shimon's not such a great guy after all. Chafetz Chaim doesn't address this question. So can we think in those terms? I have no tainus on Shimon, it's min Hashemayim, it's the Ibn Hashem. But if the Ibn Hashem uses this person for this kind of shlichus is an indication that I don't want to have too much to do with this person. The Ramchal doesn't say that. The Ramchal is saying he's got to be your friend like always and so on. So it could be the Ramchal is talking about a case when the friend said something to make me feel better, did something or didn't do something without realizing the gravity of what they were doing, so I should be forgiving and just pretend it never happened and keep the relationship. But maybe sometimes you come to the realization that this must not be a very good person. So fine, I won't hold it against them, but I don't want to have too much to do with him because he doesn't have a good midos or whatever. So I don't have a real answer to that question because maybe that's the way it is. Maybe taka, I don't have to associate with these kind of people because they're not nice. So someone's not nice, I don't have to associate with. Then there becomes a shayla, which kind of plays into this like as follows. You have an acquaintance. You think of this acquaintance as a friend. You really do. You meet and you talk and you schmooze and you enjoy each other's company. And your acquaintance gets engaged. And you don't get an invitation to the wedding. So you're insulted. Thought this is my friend. And you think maybe they didn't invite me, just they got lost. Or maybe something happened to the invitation. But you're not going to ask them yourself. So you go and ask a friend, a mutual friend, could you just find out, like, there's something happened to my invitation? So they do. They go over. And the kala says, no, I didn't invite them. No, I'm not so close. You can't invite everybody. So your shliach comes back and says to you, no, you weren't invited. They can't invite everybody. Okay, you're probably feeling pretty bad about that. You thought you were good friends, but I guess I'm not such good friends. Okay. A month or two later, you get engaged. Do you send them an invitation? Or do you not send an invitation? If you don't send them an invitation, are you over a little secret? You're taking revenge? You didn't invite me? I'm not inviting you. So there. Or I'm not taking revenge at all. It became clear to me we're not such good friends. I don't invite the whole world to my chasna. And if I'm not such a good friend, why should I invite them? We're not such good friends. I don't invite the whole world to my simcha. So it's not lo sikam. It's just a reevaluation of where we hold with each other. I've seen this shayla brought in Sfar. Is it considered nekama not to send an invitation back? And the answer is like this. If the one who did not invite you is someone that should have invited you, a co-worker, a cousin, someone that you have a shaychus to a relationship with, and they don't value that relationship, so they didn't invite you, then you do have to invite them to your simcha, and if you don't, it's nekama. Because it's the kind of person that is invited. If it's the kind of person that people invite to their simchas, then you should invite them. And they should have invited you. They're wrong for not inviting you. And if you're not going to invite them back, that's nekama. But if it's not a social requirement, it's just an acquaintance, and do I don't I have to invite them? So evidently I don't have to invite them. They don't have to. Maybe it's someone you sit next to in shul. You don't really see them except you sit next to them in shul. So do I have to invite them because they're next to them in shul? Don't have to. Some people feel you do. Some people feel you don't. So if they don't invite me, so it means I don't have to. They'll wish me mazel tov. We're very happy for each other. Doesn't mean you have to go be invited to the wedding. So that's how they look at it. There are some that are clearly obligations to invite, and just because one was negligent in their obligation doesn't mean you should be negligent in your obligation. And if you are, that's the comma. And then there are others where it's just a realization of where we stand with each other, and I don't have to invite them. They don't have to invite me. And that's fine. They don't have to invite them. So I feel bad. I shouldn't feel bad. That's all. This is where these things get complicated. Are these things considered nekama? They're not considered nekama. Ultimately, if you're in doubt, I guess you could say, just invite them. Overcome your tendency not to invite them. But it gets difficult. Let's say you have a limit. You can only invite 30 guests, friends, whatever. There's a limit of how many people you can invite. So then you have to start picking and choosing, so you have to be more selective. But I know there are people who will go out of their way to invite the people that they had falling outs with. It's always the wife who says, I've had discussions with couples. We used to be friendly with them, then something happened, I'm so friendly, my husband says we're not inviting them, and I think we should invite them, the wife says. And I always tell her, yeah, go ahead, you invite them. You invite them. even though your husband says not to. It's okay. You can invite them. If they come, they come. If they don't come, they don't come, whatever. So if you're in doubt, so Laman HaSholom, it probably is valuable to take that opportunity to, in fact, send an invitation. And there are people who you have falling out with, and they won't invite you. They don't invite you. You're not my friend anymore. And still, the other side says, I'm going to invite them back anyway. I don't care. I'll send them an invitation. That's fine. So you don't invite me, that's fine. I'm inviting you. You don't want to come, don't come. But I'm inviting you anyway. That's fine. Different people have different degrees of sensitivity. Some people are more sensitive than others. Some people are more pained by these things than others. Ultimately, the healthiest approach, of course, is not to bear a grudge and not to take revenge. It's much better for your heart. It's better for your blood pressure. It's not to let it get under your skin. That's, of course, the best. But we are humans. We are human beings, and people do let it get under their skin. I once saw a line, and it's very true, that forgiveness is emancipating. When you forgive someone, you are free. The person you're angry at isn't enslaved by your anger. You're enslaved by your anger. When you can forgive them, you are free. You're not carrying around with you anymore. I'm not saying it's easy. Depending on what it is, it can be very, very difficult. But the bottom line is, it's almost like self-affliction. We're the ones who suffer when we carry the burden of other people's crimes against us. So if you can let it go, that is healthy. It's good for your mind. It's good for your body. It's good for your neshama. And the challenge, of course, is to be as nice, as pleasant as possible when they ask you for a favor or something, as if it never happened ever. And that's a madrega. That's a madrega. But the Torah expects it of us. It's an unbelievable challenge. I don't know how many challenges are like this one. And whether Amchal is going to write, it's only Kal from Malachi Yesharis. But that's what the Hashem decrees of us. That means that we are capable of it. And it's something we can achieve. But it's something we have to realize that it's not easy. But you look at it, that this is the Ribbono Shel's will. It's Ribbono Shel's will. I'll accept it. And the way he concludes, V'haftei kamaycha, we are more forgiving with people we are closest with. If it's sisters or brothers, we're more forgiving if it's cousins than cousins. If it's cousins, we're more forgiving than if it's strangers, and so on and so forth. You should try to treat everyone with that same degree of ava, that if you've done something stupid, you want to be forgiven. So if someone else is something stupid to you, you should forgive them too. In the case of the truck, Shimon should have lent the truck. It was stupid. Or he should have volunteered to drive the truck for him. He should have volunteered to drive the truck for him. He didn't. So he wasn't thinking straight. We should be forgiving. It's a challenge. I'm not saying it's not a challenge, but we should look at some Shemayim and we should let it go.